Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Pete Zayas. We're going to talk about Brandon Ingram. I feel like not nearly enough has been made about how good this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly taken enormous steps. If you look at him, especially from the perspective of a growth curve, his growth curve's nuts, because where he started at the beginning of his rookie year to where he is now has just been just an enormous improvement.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on the show, but I don't think people quite get how talented and the skills that he has to work with. So that's going to be today's show. As we've done with LeBron 2 days ago, Lonzo yesterday, we're going to do the same thing here with Brandon Ingram. The series is brought to you by Ease. More on them as the series goes along and heading into next week. But you know where to find the show. You know where to find us. There's a ton to talk about with Brandon Ingram because I don't think we've talked nearly enough about him, period. You mentioned the strides he's taken forward. Heading into last year, I infamously at this point said all I wanted to see from Brandon Ingram was a professional skill set, like an NBA league average skill set, something that he's good at that you can kind of point to and say, okay, that is what he can build off of. I look like an idiot, to say the least, but were you surprised? Did he meet your expectations last year with the amount of growth that he took, with the strides that he took last year? Or was it something that, like, you just said, no, the skills were always there. We were just waiting for it to catch up age-wise.
No, I've always been one of the more probably skeptical voices in Lakers Nation regarding Ingram. So he exceeded my expectations, especially in the second half of the year. I thought that in the first half of the year, he was kind of he was put in an unfair position of, if you look at, remember Larry Nance started in that starting lineup. And so you had these three really low usage guys in Lonzo, KCP, and Larry Nance alongside Brandon Ingram and Brook Lopez. Who's going to take the shots in right. those lineups, you know, and who, if somebody needs to create on the perimeter in terms of somebody being able to get their own shot and hit it with any regularity and be able to dish out of it, Ingram was the only guy. And so I thought that he was kind of burdened with too much shot creation at the beginning. And we saw that in his efficiency numbers early on. He was in, you know, high 40s, low 50s in terms of true shooting percentage. I feel like once they inserted Julius Randle into the starting lineup, and obviously LeBron is a very souped up version of a similar type of player. Yeah. we saw Brandon's efficiency just skyrocket, because to me, he's one of those guys that he has like across the board type of value, and that he can be a jack of all trades, but at a pretty high level at all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that as the season went along, especially the last like 15 to 20 games that he had, like at that point, I was like, wow, who is this guy? You know? And so it was just, I've said this before, but he only played 6 games after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And he finished his season like on that hot streak. So was it a hot streak or was it the new normal for him? It wasn't quite long enough for me to be like, yeah, that guy is a stud now. But that guy in that 15-20 game stretch, that guy was a stud. So if that's who he is, if that's his starting point going forward, I think that the Lakers are in great shape. I also think, though, that his role really changes with LeBron coming into town.
Yeah, we'll get to the team dynamic, and I forgot to mention, everybody, we look back on what he's done to this point in segment 2. We're going to look at him individually in segment 3 in expectations wise, and then segment 3 in the team construct. I want to look back on so his rookie year, he was so, I don't want to say, well, I'll just come out and say it. He was so bad over the course of his rookie, like net rookie year, that a lot of people were wondering, shoot, what, all right, do we have to reevaluate our expectations with this guy? And then we did, and then he far outpaced those expectations. And the one thing I don't want to do or continue to do is keep kind of doing the pendulum effect with, all right, we set expectations too high maybe when he was drafted without accounting for how young he was compared to his fellow draftees. And then we set the bar way too low for him heading into his second season because of what we saw without accounting for age again, and he far outpaces that. And now I don't want it to swing back the other way where, again, we set those expectations at too high a level, but a small part of me is saying, I don't know if we can set those expectations too high here while being realistic, right? Like, I'm not expecting that he comes into next year as a surefire Hall of Famer, but it's also like his ceiling is so high, and I said this on today's Locked On NBA, his ceiling is so high and his game is so unique that it's almost hard to evaluate him because it feels like too hyperbolic at every step along the way.
And that's why I think it's important to also, he's a very easy guy because there's so little that he can't do that you can talk yourself into him becoming great at just about anything. And it would not be totally out of the question, right? Like, there aren't a lot of human beings walking the planet with a 7'3" wingspan that are coordinated, that, you know, that can move, that have decent athleticism, you know, like, he's a very unique combination of skills, and he started of tools, and he started to add skills to that. The ball handling, guys his size can't do that normally. So for me, I think it's important to not just look at what will Brandon Ingram be when he's 26, 27, entering his prime. What is he going to be at 21, which is next year? And so I'd ask you, Anthony, what are your expectations for him next year, being a lot higher on him than you were at this time a year ago?
I'll get to that here in a second. How's that for a tease? It's like we've done it before.
It's well done. You've done it before. I suck at stuff like that.
But. So, and all momentum is gone. It happens every time. But the
you can't be self-referential in a podcast. Yeah, it's got to be a conversation.
I got to be self-def. Yeah. Anywho, with Ingram though, my expectations next year with Ingram are, it's not a tangible thing that we'll be able to, and there's some aspects of it that's tangible, but I just want it to be very evident every time he's on the court that the guys he's surrounded by are made better by his presence. He's never going to be the best player on the court because LeBron is going to be on the court with him a lot, but I want it to be like, I want a few of those stories over the course of the year to be like, oh yeah, that's why we were so high on him heading into the draft. And not just from the standpoint of like, look at the effect LeBron is having on him, but when LeBron is sitting, look at the effect that Ingram is having on his teammates.
And one of the main ways I think he can do that is, like I said, how he's capable of just about anything on a basketball court. It's really valuable to have guys like that because that's not true of the vast majority of players. Yep. Lakers have one of those guys in LeBron, right? But LeBron's the only other guy on the team that can do pretty much everything at least an above average to great level. Ingram can do that too. He's capable of doing just about anything. So where are the gaps on the team, right? And where are the places? I think that's where he can provide the most value, which isn't to say that he's just strictly a role player or anything like that, but there are going to be places where the Lakers are weak that he's capable of being strong in. Like, I really want to see him take a leap forward on the defensive end this year. I think he's going to be freed up to do that by not having as much responsibility on the offensive end. And I'd really like to see him. I think he has first team all defense type of tools and potential between his length and his agility. I'd like to see him take major steps in that direction. And to me, that's probably even more important than the offensive end with him, because I think the Lakers are going to be okay with LeBron and, you know, just what they have in totality. I have some worries about the veterans on the defensive end, and Ingram's probably the guy that what he is and what he could be, there's probably the biggest gap on the defensive end. Like, he's not a bad defender, and he wasn't a bad defender last year, but I think he could be a great defender, and I want to see him take steps in that direction this year.
One of the things that you and I have talked a ton about with Ingram is this idea of trusting what his body is capable of doing. You know, like, I always use the analogy of a superhero, there's always that scene where like Spider-Man realizes, holy crap, I can climb up this building.
Exactly.
You know? And Ingram, you kind of saw those moments. There was that dunk against, I think was it New Orleans? It was New Orleans, right? Where he dunked on like all of New Orleans. And afterward, he did like, he pounded his chest. He was real emotional about it after that play, screamed at the crowd. And I kind of feel like that scream was one of those, holy crap, this is what I'm capable of moments, right? And this is what I'm really looking forward to with him playing alongside LeBron, is that the vast majority of human beings who are trying to tell Ingram to trust his body and trying to teach him and help him be more comfortable with the things that his body is capable of can't quite relate. But if anybody is, it can relate to having skills or abilities that the average human being just simply does not, it's going to be LeBron. So like what I'm really looking forward to is when they're kind of sitting on the bench, and I don't think they're going to spend too much time on the bench together. I think their minutes will be kind of staggered here. But one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is like LeBron saying, no, you can actually take off from like a step further. I've seen you do it.
Yeah. And that's film room stuff too, right? Like mm-hmm. It's when they're in the film room, LeBron is the quintessential point forward type guy who's 6'8", 6'9", but still has ball handling ability to distribute, create his own shot, right? So him, guys like Ingram and Kuzma, Lonzo, but Ingram especially has the closest package of skills to LeBron that LeBron could really help cultivate.
Yeah.
Because he's, like you said, he's one of the few people that can relate, be like, I've been here. I know exactly what it is to be in the position that you're in on this play. Try this instead.
Yeah.
In a way that nobody else can relate to him.
Right. Yeah. And there's video
except maybe Magic Johnson.
But there's also video of LeBron having done it, right? Like he can point to, here's this play that I can find and actually show you, have it taken place. Whereas like somebody else who would say, you know, this is how I would handle the situation, not everybody can actually point to dunking over entire cities at a time. I want to talk about him offensively, because this is one of the things that you and I have talked quite a bit about regarding LeBron, is that his fit with Ingram isn't necessarily because of the skill sets. There's some overlap there that makes it tougher to predict what Ingram is capable of. But offensively, like one of the things I'm really interested to watch is, how does Ingram handle like the second units? Like when LeBron isn't on the court, and if their minutes are staggered, how does he handle that time when he's on the court by himself and he's asked to create for others? He did it for a short stretch there when Lonzo was hurt. And my question to you is, do you think what we saw there while Lonzo was hurt was an outlier? Or do you think that could be the new norm?
I think that it's closer to the new norm than an outlier. Now, he's not going to shoot 50% from 3-point range, right? Like mm-hmm. he did during that time. But I think that if they in the minutes that they don't play together, I think that that was in some ways a sneak preview of what we could see, because he was playing the point guard spot. They benched your boy Tyler Ennis and put Josh Hart in his spot.
Best but then
had
of my
Ingram
life.
Then had Ingram play the point. But a lot of it was, He didn't have the ball in his hands a ton like a point guard would, or the way that Lonzo does when he plays point. It was more, gosh, the best analogy I could make is like a triangle type point guard, mm-hmm. where that was where Julius Randle and Brook Lopez's touches really skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And you'll still be able to do that over the course of this season. But I think that just that versatility and that ball handling, I think that he's at his best when he is doing that while still cutting off of the ball and whatnot. But if you put that dude against second units, which isn't to say he should come off of the bench or anything, right? But if LeBron isn't in the lineup, like Rondo is obviously going to be the backup, but like put the ball in Ingram's hands against bench players in that, you know, end of the first, beginning of the second quarter, end of the third, beginning of the fourth, man, like that dude's really going to wreck shop the way that he was during that stretch. So yeah, I think that was a sneak preview more than an outlier.
Yeah, I completely agree, and it makes me so freaking excited for the season. Like, we were asked, you know this, in the Silver Screen Roll Slack, we were asked to list our most interesting players, and I think I had Ingram one. Either Ingram or Lonzo was one.
I had him two behind. I had LeBron number one and then Ingram two.
Yeah, his season is so fascinating to me. It could, because, again, it gets back to, it's hard for me to predict like think of it as predicting the weather in like Palm Springs, right? Where you don't want to be the guy who says, "Oh yeah, it's going to be 125 all week." And because like if you're wrong on that, you can be so wildly wrong.
Right.
Whereas like with Ingram, it's the same kind of thing where you could see the steps he could take to become truly special, but predicting truly special is a great way to look bad.
Right. And like his role changes so much. I actually think this is a better fit for him than last year's team, which is where he raised a lot of eyebrows. Like one of the interesting things, if you kind of dig into the numbers and into the tape, over half of his offense was derived from either isolations or pick and rolls, where he was the ball handler in the pick and roll, which are basically your half court, hey, go create a shot type possessions. And those were real drags on his efficiency. If you look at everything else in transition, he was in like the 82nd percentile in the NBA as a 20-year-old, mm-hmm. right? So he got great at filling the wings. And when he was a rookie, he was in like, I don't even think he was in the 10th percentile in that. Like that was something he used. He learned how to jump off of one foot, take those long strides, learn how to kind of ruin defenders' angles by slowing down, speeding up, changing directions. So he got fantastic at that. On low volume, he became a pretty good shooter. And by the end of the season, his technique, from my eye at the very least, like I don't think his confidence had quite caught up. Like I was watching him, I'm like, dude, this guy can hit threes at a decent clip. Mm-hmm. Just like take these shots. Like he was passing up shots that I didn't think he needed to pass up.
Yep.
But that's going to come, right? Like he sees the ball go through the net enough times, he's going to get more and more comfortable with that. But if you look at that like on ball, off ball split, he was really efficient off of the ball, like 56% effective field goal percentage. And he's going to be in that position more often this year. So to me, like more than his raw points per game or things like that, I think you're going to see his effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, all those numbers I think are going to skyrocket this year.
We're going to get to this here in a second in the team construct, but one of the things, and actually it was a listener question, and I thought it was a very interesting one. It was a very good question. It was a very good point, really, is that with LeBron being on the team, maybe the refereeing will improve a little bit. It'll stabilize a little bit. And if the refereeing does improve, then I don't think anybody on the Lakers stands to benefit more than Brandon Ingram. And that's really exciting. His free throw rate growing up makes him, or going up, it makes him really efficient.
And he was already like drawing fouls at a pretty impressive clip. And like even aside from more ref love, LeBron is going to get, like teams are going to be in the penalty more mm-hmm. often when you have like one of those guys that guys can't guard. Like LeBron's going to pick up a couple of off ball fouls early in quarters, right, where nobody goes to the line or anything, but that's going to mean Brandon Ingram's going to the line when he gets fouled on an off ball play with 5 minutes left in the third quarter, as opposed to just taking the ball side out. So yeah, that's going to have benefits across the board.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick second here and figure out what his role might be in the team construct. All right, so we figured out kind of what we're hoping to see from him individually. My question just straight up is, are the things that will make him successful as an individual next year, do those things lend themselves to success team-wide? So, like, for example, one version of this hypothetical is, all right, if Ingram gets really good on the ball, does taking the ball to take advantage of those improvements, taking the ball out of LeBron's hands to make that happen or make that work, or even Lonzo or Rondo's hands to make that work, does that make sense?
It does in a long-term type of sense, right? We're not just talking one game. Like if it's, you know, game seven of the NBA finals, LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands, right? But we got LeBron for at least 3 years. And one of the things he was looking for are additional playmakers and guys that can shot create. And that's one of the appeals of Ingram, right? Is his ability to do that from his size. So it's just like, you know, like, yeah, you could have Clayton Kershaw, but it doesn't mean you have to throw him for nine innings, especially if you're doing that in April or May. In order to, I think Ingram helps us get a, which is staggering to say, a more efficient LeBron, a healthier, a more spry LeBron. One place where LeBron really took a step back on last year was on defense. I think we'll see a better defender because LeBron doesn't have to carry every damn possession. So it's one of those things. I don't think it has to be an either or thing with Brandon where he's either strictly an off-ball player or he's the guy you run your offense through. I think he'll get a lot of, you know, if he gets any run with the second unit, that he can be a go-to guy like we were talking about earlier. And even in the half court, like if LeBron gets the opportunity to set screens for guys and it's Brandon that has the ball in his hands and LeBron's like rolling off of off-ball screens or spotting up himself, that, like, that's good for both of those guys because mm-hmm. LeBron's going to draw attention, which means that driving lanes for Brandon are going to be better. Like, think about the difference between, and I really loved what Julius brought to the table last year, but he's not going to draw the type of attention off of the ball. Like, he's not like a, oh crap, I'm guarding LeBron level guy, right? So like, if you're off of the ball and Brandon starts driving to the basket and you've got LeBron like cutting to the basket as well, like on a backside cut or even spotting up where he's gotten very good, are you going to, like, you're going to just be a little bit slower to leave LeBron, and Brandon's going to benefit from that. So for me, like, on the offensive end, Brandon can provide in so many different types of areas that he's just going to fill in wherever the gaps are.
What do you think of LeBron and Ingram pick and roll? Like, LeBron is the screener, Ingram is the ball handler. Do you think that works, or is it, I mean, can they just switch and you'd be fine?
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with same size ball screens. Now, it depends on who the defenders are, mm-hmm. but if I'm, you know, coaching the other team, I'm probably just switching that unless the guy who I initially have on Brandon is a terrible defender and I want to get LeBron on him. But then again, I might just have, you know, Brandon attack that terrible defender in the first place off a different action. But yeah, I don't think that they're necessarily a great combo in that respect. In the same way that, like, Brooke Lopez and Brandon Ingram were a really good pick and roll combination last year, but Ingram and Randall were not very good, even though Randall was a good roll man with other guys. In that instance, you could use drop coverages because Randall wasn't the pick and pop threat. That is something where LeBron will be able to, if you just sag off of LeBron, LeBron can pop out behind the line and hit it at a really high clip when he's open. So, but yeah, overall, I think that's I think there are better ways to use those guys.
Yeah, I agree. How about Ingram as a screener?
That's something I've always wanted to see more of because he has that pop, cut, slash type of, like, all of the things that Brandon is good at with the ball in his hands in terms of his ability to drive to the basket, he can get to those same spots but off of the ball. And the Lakers with LeBron, Rondo, and Lonzo and other guys who are at least decent passers, like, if Brandon gets open and he has a really, really good feel, this is one thing I found from watching a lot of tape on him, making videos, really good feel for where the open space is on the court. Mm-hmm. And if he gets to that open space, he's going to get the ball. And if he's not bothered by having the ball in his hands in the first place and eyeballs are focused in other places, that's why I think his efficiency is going to go up so much this year, is because he's got such a good feel for that. And he's surrounded by guys that will get him the ball in those spots. And he's not going to have the ball in his hands, have to have it as much. So eyeballs will be elsewhere. I think that him as a screener, being able to pop, cut, and do all sorts of things off of that, I think he would kill it off of that.
Yeah. I just really like the idea of having creators as screeners. Like, basically, give them the ball in space and have the defense have, like, if you're the screener, the defense has to be rotating to you in some way, shape, or form when you get the ball out of the pick and roll. And now having somebody who can create for themselves and others with the defense rotating at them or for them, that's just, it's really hard to guard. There's nothing you can really do there.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And actually, if I guess I was thinking of your LeBron Ingram pick and roll from the perspective of Ingram being the ball handler and LeBron being the big. But I actually think if you reverse that, that has a little more potential because of LeBron's ability to pull up from three, which Ingram doesn't have at this point. And if Ingram's the screen setter and rolling off of that, there's a lot of cool stuff that you could do about that off of that would be really effective. Just look at Draymond Green. You were talking about creators off of the pick and roll. Like, they will trap Steph or KD or something like that, and then Draymond in these 4-on-3 situations just kills it. If you can have two guys that can play make out of it, that's just you're in great shape.
Yeah, it's just, god, can we start the season now? Like,
I'm dying, man. Like, and it's, and for me, like, I don't have any new video to work with, you know, like, so I'm just like digging through the old stuff, and like half the team is new anyway. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you do have that Luol Deng breakdown coming, right?
So I do. I have that one layup. I think I posted that in Slack, the Luol Deng highlights from the 2017-18 season, which was his
gave somebody transition a high five. Layup. Look at that's the angle.
That's going to be one of the weirder stats. It, like, he started the first game of the year and never played another game. And he wasn't hurt or anything, right? It was just like, yeah, I remember opening night, he got a transition layup off of Alonzo assist.
Man, poor Deng. Yeah. Poor Deng. I thought Deng was a great, not at the rate that they signed him, but I thought he was just like the perfect guy for Ingram to learn from. It just turned out that there was no place for him, like, at all, really.
It's unfortunate things have worked out the way they did, because, like, if Luol Deng was making $4 or $5 million, I don't think Luol Deng, like, just can't play at all anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I would have rather had him playing than Corey Brewer last year, but yeah. I think it's just one of those things where, you know, the relationship is just too far gone to where it's not a matter of whether or not he can play anymore. It's just not going to happen.
I would have loved if Deng and Pelinka flew over to Africa together for the NBA Africa game, and they were just like, let's just picture those guys sitting side by side on an airplane.
Who seated us?
Yeah. All right. That'll do it, though. Anything else? Like, so we talked when you and I last did the show, we ended on what's the one thing that we're really looking forward to with LeBron? So, like, what's the one small thing that you're kind of looking forward to here with Ingram in specific?
I want Ingram to be our best. I want him to be our stopper on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Like Lonzo's a really good defender, but it's in a different way. He's kind of that chaos creator off of the ball, jumping passing lanes. Yep. Like, but I think Ingram can be a guy where, like, yo, you got him and you got the best shooting guard, or because KCP can chase guys off of screens, but he's not that great in isolation. I think Ingram can be a lockdown defender type of guy. And so that, to me, probably more than anything else, because I think the efficiency on the offensive end and all that, that'll work itself out naturally. I think he's capable of becoming a lockdown defender, and that's what I want to see this year.
I like that you make that point. And again, it kind of gets back to with LeBron, having LeBron in the locker room, in the film sessions with him every day. Like, one of the things that, and it's because LeBron is so great at so many things, but prime LeBron, I remember there was a series against Chicago when he was in Miami, and I think it was the year that Derrick Rose won the MVP. Chicago and Miami played a series, and late in the game, LeBron would basically take Derrick Rose late in these games, and it was just over. Rose couldn't do anything with them, and that's where, again, having LeBron in those kind of situations, he can tell Ingram, like, actually trust your body here, man. You can take this angle when you're guarding so and so. This is what so and so prefers to do in mm-hmm. this kind of situation. I'm really looking forward to the dynamic between LeBron and Ingram.
Absolutely. And I think Rondo is going to be helpful in that respect, too, even though he's not playing the same position. Just those guys that are all, like, Rondo's a future coach if he wants to be. LeBron's got bigger fish to fry, but he would be a future coach, unlike a lot of the, like, all-time greats type of guys. Like, they've got so much high IQ on this team to pass along to all these puppies that we got on the team that have, you know, they have all these tools, but have not had as many, like, mentors that were capable of teaching them. We always talked about guys like Meta and Luol Deng and things like that. Like, they aren't the types of guys, they can only go so far with the mentorship, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron's been the best player in the NBA. Rondo has, like, been a league leader in assists and has, you know, been the MVP of playoff series mm-hmm. type thing. Those are the type of guys that have done it at the highest level where we want Lonzo and Ingram and Kuz and all them guys to get to. Those are the guys that'll be the best mentors of all, and I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess if I had my one thing I was looking forward to with Ingram, I'd say there are just some players in the NBA who are capable of making shot. Now, I don't think Ingram is that kind of shot maker, but he is built in a way that is demoralizing to guard. He's so tall, he is so long, that if he gets into, like, the mid-range area, he'll pull up, and somebody who is, like, 6'4", 6'5", can contest as best they want. Go for it, bud. But they aren't going to come close to affecting the shot. And I just really enjoy professional basketball players being demoralized by just the gifts that somebody else was given. And I really look forward to that on both ends of the court too, right? Like if Ingram does become kind of the lockdown defender that you're talking about, there are going to be those moments where the guy that he's guarding, just, you can just kind of look, you can see it on their face. Poor Rose hasn't really been the same.
Well, he had some other issues, but yeah, he totally shut. And that was MVP Derrick Rose that year. I remember exactly the series you were talking about. And yeah, no, and that's the type of guy, because Ingram has that agility, right? So yeah, he has the ability to just shut down smaller players. And I think the Lakers are going to switch a lot. And so Ingram could be just a huge component of that.
I can't wait. It's really fun. Ingram is to me the key ingredient as to what the Lakers are capable of doing next year. If he lives up to his potential, I think the Lakers become legit special, and he becomes legit special. And I could see, like, it wouldn't shock me at all if he got all-star talk about him. Not that he makes it to the All-Stars, because there's so many great wings in the West. But if the Laker fan base were like, man, this guy, it's really too bad that LeBron and Durant and Paul George, and go through the special wings that are in the West, Jimmy Butler, like, it's too bad that they're all in the West and Ingram isn't going to get the shine that he should, because I think it there are going to be those kind of conversations that people are going to force on people, rightfully so in some cases.
Yeah, no, it's the West is loaded out there. And for me, it's less about like those accolades. And I think that like Ingram could be a really impactful guy without necessarily having, you know, 20, 22 points per game, because he's just so capable in so many different areas that wherever the Lakers need him, he's capable of filling in.
Absolutely. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, sending you guys off into the weekend with some positive vibes. I just can't wait to watch Brandon Ingram play basketball, you guys. Enjoy your weekends. Please be safe out there this weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday. So while this series is going on, the series of player previews is going on, I'm still going to be doing mailbag stuff. So get your questions in to iTunes. I'll answer those as best I can on Monday's show, and then we're right back at it again Tuesday through Friday next week and over the next couple weeks of these player previews. So enjoy those. Go back and listen to the ones that you, if you haven't heard them already, had some fun talking about LeBron, had some fun with Harrison talking about Lonzo and making fun of Harrison. Have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.